This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. And once again, Happy New Year's Eve to you. Coming away at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. Got a text here. The Pabst Factor. That's a great term. I'm going to start using that. That was from Ron Umentum regarding why he decided to climb up and snap the goalposts in the south end zone after the Ice Bowl.
57 years ago today. So
he was clinging for life.
Wow, where did that time go? You know what? We talked just... It's amazing, and you're a little bit older than we are, but man, time just...
We were talking about that this morning, because we're talking about what's a good movie to watch on New Year's Eve, we're talking about Airplane, and Jim says Blazing Saddles, and I said, well, I don't even know if they can air that anymore, because some of the language, I go, you know, that was 1974. He goes, that wasn't that long ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. I go, okay, Jim, let's put this in perspective. That was 50 years ago. In 1974, if you talked about something happening 50 years ago, you're talking 1924.
Yeah.
And it's you'd think that was the Dark Ages.
It's incredible. But like you said, that where did the time go? And I don't, went somewhere and sure was good to you.
Well, good times, bad times.
You guys both look great.
You guys could still wear your uniforms.
You guys both probably could wear the exact uniforms you wore in Vietnam, couldn't you?
I wouldn't want to wear that uniform I had in Vietnam. There were rags and dirty and smelly and chucking for after not showering for four months. Yeah. No, we don't want to wear those ones. We want new ones.
You know, I still think it's one of the cool things. Ron's got a great little museum at his house, a Vietnam museum, which is really cool and very completely authentic, right down to the part of a helmet that they wore in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And they used to carry their toilet paper in like a band on top of it. And it's what does it say on the toilet paper?
It says made in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
But we only wore it on the outside of the helmet during the dry season. Because in the wet season, it had to be inside the helmet.
I guess.
Isn't that kind of cool, though? But, I mean, all over Vietnam. How much money did they make by providing toilet paper to everybody?
Wrigley's, there's a lot of people that did pretty well.
You know, I've got one comment about the weather in Green Bay 57 years ago. The difference in temperature between Chuck and where I was and where he was over 100 degrees difference.
Yeah. Wow. How hot was it in Vietnam?
Well, in December, that's probably the cooler part. Okay. But he's probably still around 90 degrees with about 90% humidity. It seemed like it was hot all the time.
What was Christmas like being in Vietnam?
It was lonely, but yet you were around your friends, and you're very tight. And I had my mother sent me a Christmas tree, and it made my Christmas. And then I remember they sent a box of cookies. Well, by the time the box got there from being tossed around, that's all it was crumbs. So I couldn't offer anybody a cookie. I could offer them a handful of crumbs.
Oh, my God.
And believe me, every crumb was gone.
Wow. That's cool. How about for your subject? Were you there at Christmas at all?
Yeah.
Two of them, wow.
Yeah, because of our 13-month tour.
Oh, that's right.
Ron pointed out. Yeah, because I got there. I got there just prior to Christmas of 67. So I remember I was at the Quezon base. And like I say, things weren't happening yet.
Right.
So we had a hot meal, and I remember distinctly, that was my last shower. They had a makeshift shower there, and I still had my white skivvies, you know. And when I went in to take a shower, I was teased, you know, the cherry boy, this and that.
Yeah, yeah.
So them went out immediately. But it was Ron said, a very lonesome time. In fact, when we were leaving for Vietnam, we left out of California. We were on a bus getting transported to LA International Airport. And to see the Christmas decorations and everything, that bus, it was just total silence. All of us in that bus is probably the first Christmas ever away from home. And that was a very touching moment.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet.
But there again, you weren't alone.
Well, and I think what I wanted to pick up on was you talk about not being alone, but the football game brought you two guys together. I mean, you went to high school, but you're halfway around the world. One's tearing down the goalposts. The other one's, you know, protecting, fighting for the country, which you ended up doing, Ron, a couple months later. But that still happens today. I mean, football really is a connector of people, of generations. There's people that call their dad, even though they may live in California, their dad lives here. And I just think that's the beauty of the NFL. I think it is really, and you guys are talking about years and years ago, but even today, I think the NFL really connects different groups of people around something that we're so proud of.
Yeah, it just takes the edge off the toxic things that are going on in this country and the world today. You know, I think
you need an escape.
Yeah,
right.
It does. It takes your mind off from it, and people are going to complain about it, like the last Packer loss. Everybody's upset about it.
Right.
But that's what sports is, you know. It's just the
absolutely.
Know, yeah.
Everybody's a coach.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows.
We do know our football.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we can talk politics all we want. We can have differences in families, but when the football game starts,
right. Absolutely,
we're one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No question about it. No question about it. One other thing about being over there.
And if they're not, they're out of the family. So,
you're damn right.
Go sit in the living room.
One of the things that when I made my little trips and I asked the guys, I said, give me something that people back in the United States, in our communities, don't appreciate unless you don't have it, is what I'm saying. And one of the things that was memorable for me, one of the guys said, I can't wait to go to a high school. I can't wait to walk up to a high school football stadium with the band playing and the lights on. And you know, little things like the smell of fresh cut grass and things like that. When you can't have it, how much you miss it. Can you guys think of anything back in those days when you were in Vietnam that it's like, man, when I get back, yada, 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 I'm going to do such and such. Was there anything for you guys?
Food,
oh, yeah.
Food, mainly food, because it's all we survived on were sea rations the majority of our tour. And up at Kaesan on the hill we were on, we never got a hot meal there. It was just whatever was available. So we were limited on supply sometimes because it was during it was foggy and stuff. So, and the helicopters, they had them zeroed in. The minute they'd drop a load, bam, 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 in come the incoming. So it was it was a real luxury. And like Ron was saying, to get something from home, we called it a care package. Mm-hmm. I remember my parents sent me packed in newspaper. It was like angel food cake. It was all dried and everything. It was right after we got hit, about a week or so after. And the guys in my squad, you know, you shared it. And it was no sanity. It was just grab and go. We all ate that cake in a short while. And then it was kind of funny. One of the black guys in our squad, he picked up the crumpled newspaper from the O'Connell Falls, and it was like a Deegan Town News, they called it. And it was like, oh, Uncle Henry came over for Thanksgiving, and he ate too much, and he got sick, and he had to lay on the couch, you know. And he said, man, where are you?
He's from, like, Detroit, wasn't he?
Yeah,
like,
where in the hell are you from, right, man? You know, you're talking guys
slow
from the hood,
day.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
How about you, Ronnie?
Well, I think my big thing was getting home and being able to sleep on white sheets, because I was on a night ambush team for most of the time. I was trained in 81 mortars. Chuck was trained in 60 mortars. We used to call those pea shooters. But anyway, thinking that when I get home, I can't wait to sleep in a bed. Well, when I got home, I couldn't sleep in the bed because I was so used to sleeping on the ground. So it took a while to get used to it.
Yeah.
The food was a big thing, eating those sea rations. Getting the care packages were always shared. And the rat sandwiches, though, I told a story to John about the rat sandwiches. That was actually, I thought it was a delicacy until I found out what it was.
Wow.
So.
Right. Do you celebrate this ice bowl that we're, I mean, it's New Year's Eve, and you've got a lot to be grateful for. I'm sure I've talked to both you guys numerous times, but given that, what do you do New Year's Eve? You patriotic about it, dinner?
Not really. New Year's Eve person.
Right.
The holidays.
Okay, let me just say this. And this coming from a guy that throws the greatest summer parties I've ever been to in my lifetime. Wouldn't you agree with that, Chuck?
Yeah.
But New Year's, you throw the summer party, but you kind of take off New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve, for some reason, I've always, ever since I've been back to Vietnam, like, that's a special time for me.
And you, like you said, you did go back to Vietnam.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So I don't celebrate New Year's really heavy. I have been invited to a party this year, and I'm going. But for some reason, the holidays, I never could get off my mind what it was like in Vietnam, right, about the holidays and what are we celebrating. One thing I do remember on Christmas, though, the fire bases, they would always fire up their hand flares, colored hand flares, on Christmas, yeah, and New Year's. Yep. And you could see where the bases were. Which probably wasn't good because they were marking the spots. Right. Yeah.
You know, I was just watching a thing
whose
last
idea was that?
Night on the internet. There's a thing on Bob Hope specials. Did you guys never had a chance to go to any of those kind of things, did you? Or
I was that close because I was my rotation date was back to the States, but I was too low on the totem pole.
Oh, to get
it. It was the 69. I was just getting ready to come back, you know, and I got put on guard duty.
Okay.
And all the brass went. You
know. I did get selected to go to see Bob Hope at Cu Chi in Vietnam. And
I'm going to be honest with you. In the thing I watch, and we're now leaving Cu Chi and going to. But when they went to Cu Chi, they had to wait before they could land because of sniper fire at the end of the runway. And they had to send some patrols out to clean out the snipers before they landed.
Well, and I was at a place called Ben Cal. And when I was selected, they said, well, you can go. I think there were three of us out of the company that could go. And he said, but you have to walk through this village without carrying your weapon. And I said, I'm not going through that village without carrying a weapon. So I declined to go.
Wow. What a great story.
That is.
Oh, my gosh.
I took my weapon over Bob Hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Done the same thing.
Any day.
And I wasn't thinking about Bob Hope. I was thinking about the people he was with.
Raquel Welch. And
That's who he was with back then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And Margaret.
Margaret.
That's what I meant. Man. And Margaret's thinking of. Wow.
Yeah. He always had such a nice show, you know. I mean, really dedicated.
Well, it was good. I mean, I watched it last night. It was like, it was really good. I mean, yes. Corny, of course, with the jokes, you know, yeah. Bing Crosby jokes and things like that that young people nowadays would have no idea. But
right.
I'll tell you what, Raquel Welch still brought it strong.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a little bit of home there, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, all right. They looked like that in Styles back in the day. We got to send a quick back to. We got to send a quick break. Back with more right after this.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Okay, what year was
Bridge Over Troubled Water, number one hit on this date in 1970.
Nice work. Nice work. Give him a bell there, Jim. Okay. I don't have it in here.
All right, there you got the Johnny. Good.
Thank you.
Time.
Just talked to Rocky Blair. He's coming on in one quick second here. Pretty amazing, though. I mean, talk about that era of high school football. You guys both Promontre guys. Rocky Xavier. I mean, it's amazing how many, like, big names and how many of those guys ended up in Vietnam afterwards. I mean, look at a class picture, the football team picture, and a lot of you guys. I mean, that was a tough time to go to high school as far as what your future entailed, correct?
Well, I wasn't planning on that type of future.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Nobody really.
But it turned out okay.
Yeah.
You guys were drafted, right?
No, I volunteered.
You volunteered?
I enlisted, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because, like you said, just a lot of people a couple years older than us went. Maybe 5 years older than us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 5 years.
Right.
Yep. Yep. But let me ask you this. When you guys were in high school, what were you thinking, holy crap, end up in Vietnam in a couple of years? Because you had, I'm sure, from about 64 graduates on, a lot of that was like the fodder era. I hate to use the word fodder, but let's be honest with you. That's what the government thought of a lot of the draftees, correct?
Yeah. That's correct. I wasn't thinking about going to Vietnam. I was thinking about getting out of high school, going to work. I had a job lined up. I worked there for a year, and then I went into the service. I had, at one point, I was going to go with two of my other friends, my good friends. We went down for our physicals, and they both flunked. So going in on the buddy plan, the two buddies went home.
Wow. And you couldn't change your mind? You already signed? Wow.
That's right. Oof. And then when we took our physical, they wouldn't let us go home. They swore us in right there. So we couldn't change our minds. They swore us in our underwear.
Wow. But Chuck, you enlisted, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember like at Premontre, being a Catholic high school, we had part of your daily curriculum was a religion class. And I remember we had this religion teacher. And the talk was a lot about killing, because a lot of us knew, you know, I mean, how do you justify it? It's such a bad thing. And then all of a sudden, it's okay, you know. And it bothered you because you were so, I went through 8 years of Catholic grade school, all nuns. Okay. That's why somebody asked me, how did you make it through Marine Corps boot camp? And I said, they ate your nuns in grade school. It's a piece of cake.
I agree.
Todd, we got my man on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, live from Pittsburgh, the Steel City, the pride of Appleton Xavier, the pride of the University of Notre Dame, and the pride of the Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen, Rocky Blyer. Good morning, Rock.
Good morning, John. How are you? How's everybody?
We're great. I'm with two Vietnam veterans here, and they were just talking about how they kicked your butt in high school football when they're at Premontre.
Of course. Of course they did. Chuck, they didn't win, but they did kick my butt.
Chuck, what is your claim to fame with Rocky when you played against him?
His cleats going over the top of me. I got to see the bottom of his shoes. So.
Hey, is that the shoe that was like gold plated now in the Xavier Trophy case?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah. Part of my nose is on it.
Rocky, we're here with Chuck. You've met Chuck before. Ronnie Umentum is here. Ronnie was at the 25th Infantry, 4th Division. Ronnie, tell about the little connection you have. And you got a picture here with Rocky.
Well, first of all, Rocky, thank you for everything you've done in Vietnam and what you did for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming back from what you did sure showed your real character. I remember you were a motivation speaker, and I attended some program down there. You were speaking, and I came up to you and I asked you if you knew a guy by the name of Bill Airlie. And Bill, when I was in Vietnam, Bill said, hey, did you know a guy by the name of Rocky Blyer? I said, well, I went to Premontre. I remember his name from Xavier, and nobody could beat the Hawks. So, and I remember his name. I said, sure, I know he lived in Appleton. And he said, well, I went to basic training with him. And then he told me, he said, well, if you ever see Rocky, say hi. Well, when I saw you, I said, hey, Bill says hi. And then you said to me, well, if you see Bill, tell him hi for me. And I said, well, Bill got killed. He got killed in Cambodia. And, that's the tie I had with Bill Airlie, and I don't know if you remember him.
Of course, yes, I do. I mean, I know. Yes, I mean, when you said the name Bill Airlie, it registered. I remember the name very much so.
It is amazing how you guys remember guys, though, names, places, where you knew this guy. That stuff, when you're in that element, and that's all. That's your world. Those things stick with you, don't they?
They sure do.
I had a guy tell me one time he could tell you every village he ever walked through in Vietnam. I know, some guy, it's just etched in their mind because they thought, is this the last village I'm going to walk through? And that always etched in his mind. Isn't that the truth, Rock?
Well, yes, you know that. those gentlemen have great memories. Thank God that they do, remembering that experience. And, you know, and it's the same, you know, it's the same thing in all of our lives. And as you go through the memories you have, the games that you played and the competition we had when we were in high school, growing up, as I heard, was it either you, Ronnie, or Chuck talk about the nuns? and growing up, and I tell people the same thing. I said, you know, the fact is that I had 8 years of Catholic grade school, Notre Dame nuns, 4 years of Christian Brothers,
oh, wow.
and Xavier, and then 4 years of Holy Cross priests.
That made basic
at Notre Dame. You know, I've had 16 years of being beaten up.
You know what? We've all kind of been through that. We had the Christian Brothers at Roncalli as well, and. But you guys did something with the serving this country. But what surprises me every time people like you come on is you kind of remember, as tragic as that was, how difficult, you remember the good times. Well, and that amazes me how you guys never complain.
Because it's the ones who remember the bad times are the ones who have problems. You have to remember the good times and recall the bad times.
Wow. That's a great point.
Yeah, it is. Makes a lot of sense now.
Hey, Rocky, so I just texted you a picture. Did you get the picture I texted you?
Yes, I did. I saw that.
Yeah, that is Ronnie sitting next to me talking to you at the ice bowl when he's tearing down the goalposts. And how much longer before that were you in Vietnam, or after that?
It was a year.
1 year later he's in Vietnam. Chuck was on the hilltop at Khe San listening to the ice bowl. You were at the ice bowl. We need to hear your amazing story about being front row and center to the greatest plays in NFL history, and you missed them both. Back after this.
Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs. And what's wrong with that?
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
And the mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. 97.9 FM WGBW in downtown Green Bay, WISS 98.3 and 96.5 in Oshkosh and Appleton. We're joined by one of Appleton's, well, I'm not even saying one, we're joined by Appleton's favorite son. He was voted over Houdini as Appleton's favorite son.
Don't give me that. How did that happen? Oh, man. Jeez.
Well, actually, you came in second behind Joe Bowers, your old teammate.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. That was correct.
So we're with Rocky Blyer. We're with Ronnie Umentum. We're with Chuck Wellens and all Vietnam vets. But, Rocky, you got to tell the story about before you went to Vietnam, you went to the Ice Bowl. Just give a synopsis of two of the most amazing things you were around. Bart Starr's quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl, and Franco Harris's immaculate reception when you were a teammate of his. Tell me your viewpoint of both, Rocky.
All right. I won't bore you much, but I'll tell you very quickly what had taken place. So I had been I was at home from Notre Dame. It was my senior year, and the end of the football season, I had ACL tear, and so I had an operation, and I was with a cast and on crutches. And so I'm at home, and Dad said, "Hey, I got tickets for the Packers game. Would you like to go?" Okay, fine. And so, to put it in perspective for your listeners out there, unlike today, you know, we didn't have that kind of material in coverage. So what we'd have to do is layer up, correct? So you had long johns on, you had a pair of pants on, then you have hunting pants on top of that. And so I took my cast off, wrapped up my knee, and been padded up and went to the game. So I'm on crutches. We got seats. We get to the game at 12:45 in our seats. 1 o'clock kickoff. 14 below zero. At 1 o'clock, I wanted to go home. And so we sit there watching that whole game, freezing as everyone else did and taking place. Comes down to the last 2 minutes. I can picture it right now. Chuck Mersine takes a quick pass off to the side and gets out of bounds around the 40, 45, maybe the 50, 45-yard line. 2 minutes. Dad turned to me and he said, I think maybe we should leave and kind of beat the crowd. You're on crutches. Everybody's still in the stadium. And I go, okay. I had no problem with that. Let's go because I'm freezing. So we get out. We get out of the stadium. We're in the parking lot. I'm on my crutches. And when all of a sudden we hear this roar take place. And Dad and I look at one another. We wonder, so we got to hustle to the car. So we get to the car so we can turn the radio on and see what had taken place. And we get to the car, and the lock's frozen. Not like today. The lock's frozen. So Dad's on his knees, putting his mouth over the lock, trying with hot breath to melt all the
mouth to mouth.
Get the key in. So we get the key in, we get in, and so I hear about the final touchdown on the radio, and that was my experience with the Ice Bowl. But at least I was there.
You were there, right? Yep. You qualified. So, you were there.
Yep. But at least, but you know what? Okay, that's probably the second most famous play in NFL history. You were at a front row seat. You were a teammate of one of the guys that scored the most dramatic touchdown in NFL history. Talk about your viewpoint of that one, the immaculate reception with Franco Harris.
Well, you know, and over the years, that has taken place. And so that was in 1972, just a couple years ago. And over that period of time, I think that I have run into specifically 236,113 people that saw the Immaculate Reception, was in a stadium and saw the Immaculate Reception. And I go, no, you didn't. Yes, I did. I saw the Immaculate Reception. I said, no, that did not happen, only because of the fact, think about it, at a time, let's just say you're on Route 41 coming from Green Bay down in the Appleton, Wisconsin, and it's one of those wonderful winter days that we have sleet and there's ice and there's black ice, and all of a sudden you hit the black ice and you don't see it, and you're spinning and you're going off to the side of the road and you're heading right for this telephone pole that is sitting there. You don't go, oh, with your eyes wide open, oh, I'm going to hit that. No, you throw your hands up over your face. I can't watch it. And so that's what happened at the Immaculate Reception.
Nobody saw it.
You might have been there, but when that ball bounced backwards, you know, you threw your hands up and you go, oh, my God, the game's over with. And you miss Franco catching the ball. I was on the same stuff. I'm on the sidelines. And the reason I can say this, because I'm on the sidelines, the play takes place. Bradshaw drops back. He's looking downfield. He sees punching field ball, another running back, and he releases the ball. Frenchy, the ball, and Tatum, defensive back, all collide at the same time, and the ball goes flying backward. Okay, when that happened, I saw that. Bradshaw's back, he looks downfield, and I said to myself, I can't watch this. And I turned around to take a look, it looked like I was busy doing something so that people would say, you know, but it's sissy. He's not even watching what takes place. So I missed the whole thing. And only now my teammates are yelling, he scored. We scored what? You know, what happens down there? And so, like those, like everybody else, you watched it on television, you saw the replays, and that was how I remember that.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, yes.
Two greatest plays in NFL history. You were front row for both, and you basically missed them both.
Missed them both.
Love it, Rocky. Love it. Listen, I know you got 9,000 people that want to talk to you today. We can't thank you enough for joining us. To have three tremendous Vietnam veterans, all football players, too, and the whole thing in your era. And Jim and I talk about this, too. What a wonderful era of men came out of that era. And you're one of them. And Chuck, you're one of them. And Ronnie, you're one of them. And it's an honor for you guys to share your experiences with us, really and truly. And I guarantee our listeners are just love it like you can't believe.
And you've continued to give back. You just continued. You had your service, but then just time after time. And, we're just very grateful. You guys are good guys.
Chuck and Ryan, before we leave, welcome home, brothers. I want to at least extend that. To us after all these years, and thank you for your service, obviously.
Thanks.
Being a Vietnam vet, I appreciate it.
Have a happy new year, Rocky. I consider it a real honor to meet you in person the day we did in Appleton, and I got pictures of that all over in my living room, and they're going to stay there until the day I die.
So that was another tough game that Fremont reached. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Chuck was a starting center.
John, whenever we get a chance to talk about during the football season, we got to come back and talk about that rivalry, which was a big rivalry at that time.
We would love it. What position did you play, Chuck?
Guard?
Okay. And Ronnie?
Well, thank you, Rocky, and it was a pleasure to hear from you again, and thank you for your service.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great New Year's Eve, and of course, a great new year.
Thank you, my friend.
I wish you well. John, we'll be talking to you.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you so very much. You're the greatest. Rocky Blyer joining us. Thank you, my friend. Happy New Year to you. Wow. Isn't he great? Stories.
Something.
All right. We're going to be talking with a gentleman from the Grand in Oshkosh, a huge special you can watch tonight that was taped there. PBS special that was shot last summer. The Four Phantoms is the name. Do we have Joe on right there? Big Joe, how you doing, brother?
Great.
Big night tonight.
You've been waiting a long time for this, haven't you?
That's right. Big New Year's Eve right at home.
It is. That's going to be great. So you had the Four Phantoms there. When did this take place?
The show that will appear in the special was taped this past March.
Oh, March.
We had a three-day weekend and a week-long ramp-up to that. To put that kind of lighting into the Grand, we had to strip all of the lights that you normally would see in the Grand were gone. All of the curtains you normally see in the Grand were gone. The sound... You can see in the photos, the sound is up in the air on towers, the speakers, which is something we did temporarily for that show that was so popular that we're going to make it part of the permanent renovation of the theater. But we literally took everything out, put it in a trailer, sent it away, and then they came in with a tractor trailer, which, you know, it's not a big deal when you have a theater the size of the PAC and they bring those giant trucks in. But when you're talking about the Grand and a tractor trailer full of equipment, that's a big deal. So it took days to set that up. And then we went through the thing. The production truck showed up. They did their tests. They ran B-roll footage on the opening thing and then recorded twice. Two performances, and they ended up with what looks like a 8 or 10 camera shot, and it's really splendid. I have seen it, and the Grand looks beautiful. It's fun to see the audience shots and some people you know, and of course the Phantoms loved it, and it's now their signature thing. This special has appeared coast to coast since September. In all of the major markets, east, west, north, south, and it's premiered in Milwaukee PBS already, but this will be its northeastern Wisconsin premiere. This is where the people who help make it possible can tune in tonight.
What a great New Year's evening. Absolutely. I mean, Jim and I were talking about what old movies we had watched tonight or whatever. And this is something brand new. I mean, right here with one of the most famous things. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it really is splendid. I mean, it's really well done. The Toffanelli group who did the stuff, you know, they in their past, they had done, you know, Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin. And, you know, they knew their way around producing a television special. Yeah. So it was really fun. And the stuff I had to learn along the way was pretty crazy.
You know what I think is cool, though, Joe? Everybody gets to see. I mean, I had never been in there until this past fall when we went there. We were just blown away by the grip. What a beautiful, how many years old?
141
years. 141
years
old. I think it's cool that you get a chance to show off this unbelievable facility.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to lie, when they get to the end of the thing and you know it's playing Coast to Coast and it says recorded live at the Grand Oshkosh, It gives you a link to get there, and it's a big deal. And we're real pleased about it. They'll use the footage forever. PBS will continue to cycle it in forever. There's a nice CD. There's a nice DVD. And it turned into quite a focal time, an important time for us.
Can you tell us what time?
It turned out to be a year full of focal times.
I'm sorry. Can you tell us what time it's going to air tonight?
It is at 7 o'clock tonight on PBS. It repeats at 1 a.m. for those of you who want to, you know, see it after the ball drops. And then it's got three more plays this coming week on the Wisconsin channel, the kind of B channel for for PBS. It plays Friday, the 3rd of January at 9 p.m., Saturday, the 4th at 3 p.m., and for you night owls, Thursday, the 9th at 4 o'clock a.m., I guess that's in Wisconsin. Well, that's not night owling. That's more like early rising. Home.
I'll tell you, Joe, that's the one I'm going to watch.
Hey, Joe, I think it's awesome. It's going to be running in the regular rotation, but it better not preempt my favorite thing of the guy that moved to Alaska and built a cabin out of just an axe.
I know, right?
You know what I mean?
You go, what did we kick out? Where do we go? We're right before the.
Get rid of Bob Ross.
The big PBS New Year's Eve special.
Todd just got like mad. Do not get rid of Bob Ross.
And that's right.
And there's some expansion coming to the Grand, Joe. Can you stick around and tell us about that?
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
I can, yeah.
We love your place. Minor and the Mayor, New Year's Eve 2024, back after this.
As soon as you are able.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back.
Great song. This is not my running when I used to run. This is, right? What year, Johnny?
77.
I think it's a year earlier.
I don't have that up. Sorry.
Okay. Welcome back. The Grand Oshkosh PBS special tonight at 7 o'clock, which is amazing. We got Joe coming our way, Jer Furlow from the Grand in Oshkosh. Talk about the way you guys are expanding this coming year, Joe.
Well, it you know, normally it would be the quiet time when I'm out there raising money to get a project done. But when you have a partnership with the city, as the Grand does, you know, the city owns the building and we manage the building for the city. There's no such thing as a secret, right? So this last fall, we finally finalized an arrangement that took most of the year to put into place. And that is a $10 million expansion of the Grand, with half of it covered by the city of Oshkosh and the other half to be raised by the Grand Oshkosh. So we'll be going out sometime in the course of 2025 to raise $5 to $7 million to take care of our half of the project. The project is transformative, but what it's not, and the most important thing is, what it's not is something that's going to change what the Grand looks like when you sit in the Grand. You know, that's the Grand is on the National Register of Historic Places. The Grand is second to none in atmosphere for sitting in a theater. What will happen is you'll be in more comfortable seats. Things that have been in the Grand for 40 years that have been an issue are being fixed along the way. The sound will be improved, and think the wallpaper and the things will be touched up, but the grand's going to look the same. It's the complex around the grand that gets expanded. The lobby space and the grand lounge above, the backstage area, all of that gets expanded to more modern services. The grand lounge was going to become just a first class venue all in of itself, about twice the size of what it is right now. Beautifully doubled through its wall to extend across what's now an alley next to the theater, and all of that is geared towards audience comfort and audience services. And also, you know, we do 100 performances a year. What are you going to do the rest of the days of the year? That's what theaters are struggling at with forever now. Well, we've started to program the Grand Lounge. We've started to do things, but it's been difficult to monetize and to turn that into the profit center that it needs to be. So not only does it enable us to do better services for shows that we do, but we'll probably program the theater closer to 200 days a year. Mm-hmm. There'll be events going on in the Grand Lounge all the time. We'll take our summer when people are normally what they want to play outside. Let's face it, don't we all? And so I don't do shows in the summer, but I can run a Grand Lounge in the summer with live music and a deck, and what turns out to, what was solidly dark time for us, quiet time, turns out to be solidly a profit center. So it changes the whole way that the Grand can make things work, while at the same time improving what we do best, which is shows.
Wow. Beautiful.
And kudos to the city for stepping up with 50% of the capital campaign.
I can't say enough about the city council, the city management, and all the work. It took a lot to get this written up in a way that was good for both the Grand and good for the city.
Did you just steal Jim's speech from about 15 years ago and talking about the... Pete, no.
What?
It probably sounded different when it was.
I can't thank our city council enough.
You know,
and the mayor, Jim.
Jim, you know darn well that it takes when you're talking about that kind of money, there's a lot of words.
That's real money.
To be, you know, to protect. I mean, think about it,
Johnny.
To protect the donors,
I've been there.
To protect the organization.
Exactly.
And
you know, $100,000.
I'm glad we're there.
I
don't want to say the easy part is raising the money.
No.
But one of the most difficult, that was a real milestone for us when we got to the point where everybody said, yeah, we think this is a good idea. Let's sign the paper.
That's awesome.
Congrats. Awesome. Well, Joe, best of luck to you, my friend. Can't wait to watch that special. And I still want to take my granddaughters to your dog show thing.
And that's okay.
Oh, and I'm coming out to
March 22nd for the 22nd. Super Tramp.
That's Super Tramp, that's right.
Love them. So excellent. I will sit on the 20th. Yeah, we're going to both be there. So
outstanding.
That's great. All right, well, happy new year to you, and congratulations
on
the past
to you
year.
All. But man, by the way, I enjoyed listening to Rocky Blyer. That was fun.
Something?
I'm sure I was, you know, in Three River Stadium.
Oh, that's right.
You know.
Yeah. All right, get out of here, Joe. Happy New Year's. Okay.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, my friend. Take care, Paisan.
All right,
great. Joe Furlough, Grand Oshkosh. Well, gentlemen, we're wrapping up for the year 2024. Give me your big goals for 25. Ronnie, you hold another big party for us out there?
Well, it's up to you.
All right, I say yes.
Okay, my goal would be have another party.
Ronnie threw a party out at his place that is the greatest party house with a pond. With whatever, it was the greatest thing because we had World War II veterans, Korea War veterans, Vietnam veterans, Iraq vets, some of them stopped by. What a great collection of veterans that was, wasn't it?
Oh, it was, yeah. I mean, and I just want to thank John so much for the book that at the time I didn't think much of it, but since we moved on, I met some of the greatest guys. Ron sitting right here next to me, a guy by the name of Wolfie.
The Wolf Man.
Yeah, we just share so much in our experiences in Vietnam, and to be able to talk to somebody.
That's great.
And here you are. After all those years later, you're still sitting here and
in great health and moving on to another year. So congratulations. And I don't mean this in a flippant way. Congratulations for surviving and thriving afterwards. Not everybody can say that. It takes courage to do that. Congratulations on that, Chuck.
It's doing to my family, I tell you. Yeah. I got a great family.
And there's work to be done, but you guys are great examples of, and I think you made a really good point earlier when you said focus on the positive things. You know, recall the not so good, but focus on what's positive.
Ronnie, right? Congratulations on you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim and John.
Have a great 2025. Thank you for your service.
It's gonna be a
good one. Thank you for having the guts to raise your right hand and putting your life on the line for our country. Appreciate that, and always will. Everybody, thank you so very much. Be safe. Happy New Year.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.